Jamie and Locker with you here on a Tuesday afternoon on the Green Zone as the Jays getting set. 5:40 first pitch, Chicago White Sox trying to end the Jays streak. 9 straight wins for the Toronto Blue Jays.
We're going 10 tonight, Jamie and I? We're going 10?
Yeah, they're 10. Their longest win streak recently was 11 in the 2015 season. Why not match that, too?
I think is it 11 or 13 game winning streak this year, I think, is the longest. So we're closing in on one of the longest of the season in the majors in MLB right now.
As the Jays are cruising, matching the franchise record for most victories before All-Star break at 53. Probably going to break that as well. They're taking on the White Sox. Other news, Gavin McKenna has made it official. He is going to the NCAA. He is going to Penn State. Made that announcement on ESPN. And the NHL and the NHL Players Association have ratified an extension of their new 4-year collective bargaining agreement. 84-game schedule. Not this upcoming season. Next year. Next year was when they'll get to the 84-game schedule. And there will be salary caps in the playoffs, too. So LTIR closing that loophole.
Yeah.
But it's a great conversation we are having right now. A very emotional debate we're having right now on the Green Zone with Truth or Trash Tuesday.
A little frustrating.
Yesterday, the Sacramento Gold Miners, remember them? On July the 7th, 1993, played their first game, and it had me pondering, would you ever go back to the States to get a 10th franchise? They've stalled in the CFL in Canada. Tried real hard in Halifax. It was a big no to get a stadium built there for a CFL franchise. Nowhere else has really jumped up to say, ooh, 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 me, 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 me. If
we did get a text earlier, and we got so many texts, I'm lost. I'm sorry, but there was a quick note about the fact that the league isn't successful right now. People who have money, it is successful, but it's not making money. It's not something somebody's going to dump a bunch of money into, right? But I think we can get to a point where it will be viable for people.
It is viable.
It is, but it's going to get even more viable, Jamie and I. If you have a bunch of money, too much money that you don't know what to do with it, where are you going to invest? You're going to invest
Amar Doman and Pierre Paladot don't get in on the CFL like they have for charity. They're not doing it for charity. They're doing it because they believe in it, and they're getting some money back. Like, let's be real. They are seeing some money come back. It's not the billions and billions and billions.
No.
But they're at least breaking even, or we're not seeing a salary cap going up in the Canadian Football League like it just jumped up this offseason. We're not seeing that revenue come back to allow the players to make more money if the owners aren't making money. That's how revenue sharing works. They're sharing revenue. And it's not even a 50-50 split in the CFL. The owners get more than the players, and the players are still getting more money. So tell me again how that nobody in this league is making money. Please tell
me.
We don't know what the private owners are making because they don't disclose how much money they are making. That has been the issue forever in the Canadian Football League.
You don't have people lined up to expand the CFL from an ownership perspective because of where the league is right now. And I think you can get to a point.
You had two ownership groups try Halifax, and that council said no. Because, yes, they're not going to have an owner jump up and say, let me spend $100 million on a stadium. No, you're not going to get that.
Same thing was happening in Calgary in the NHL, though, too. So
that's
not a CFL problem.
That's the roadblock.
The roadblock. The city and the province was like they were putting up roadblocks in the way of a stadium, right? They weren't friendly to ownership.
So if everybody agrees, and I think everybody agrees, 10 teams, that would be a huge boost. You'd have more games per week to sell the TV rights and everything else. You'd have five instead of four.
Do it
you
in
wouldn't
Canada.
Have the bye.
Where? Where?
It's going to happen.
The league can't just say that, Walker. Your point can't just be it's going to happen. It hasn't happened in 100 years. In 100 years. The only time this league has ever been able to get to 10 was when they went to the United States. Now, they went too far in the United States, and that's why I'm saying one team. Would you do it? 1-877-332-8255. Yes, let's go. One team in the U.S. to get to 10. Or absolutely not. Chris, Anaheim, Saskatchewan, what do you think?
Well, you know, as a former North Dakota State University student playing hockey there, I would actually say Grand Forks, Fargo would probably be the greatest market for our sport, especially if we're so close to Saskatchewan. People will travel, as we do, as it is.
And that's what a lot of people have said. Yes, northern states would be the place to go.
People aren't going to the states right now. I know everyone wants to avoid that conversation.
Stop living in 2025. Stop living in 2025.
We are living in 2025.
You can't. Yeah, but this in 2026, we don't know where anything is. So let's just not do anything for the next 3 years until Donald Trump. Then who's the next president? You can't live like that. You can't. You cannot, as a league, get so hung up on, well, nobody's traveling to the states right now, so let's not do anything.
They're saying as much as 40% of travel to the U.S.
And let's be honest,
from Canada has been canceled, comparatively speaking, to last year. We live in 2025.
Yeah, but we're not building a team in 2025.
That's not going to change anytime soon because of who's running that country down there. People aren't all of a sudden going to all of a sudden decide, oh, we forgive them. And we're going to start going down there.
Yeah, they are. Yes, they are.
I think 100%.
In a year from now, let's see what the numbers are. It's because it's
the 100.
I think it'll be worse. No. No. People love their Vegas. They love their Disney. They love their California. They love their Arizona. And they're not going to avoid it forever and ever. Amen. It's not. It's going to be like people, they're not going to big events anymore because since COVID, guess what's happening now? Way more people are getting out of the house and going back. And you saw that blip. The same thing's going to happen. You cannot base what is happening travel-wise today to avoid you from doing something that could work in 2027. Like that is not how you can do it. Or should this league do it? Every idea should be on the table, including a team in the United States, to get to 10. Because no Canadian market wants
in 4 years.
The 3.5. 1-877-332-8255. Jeff, are you a no or a yes to expansion? One team in the United States.
I'm with Walker. We went through that in the 90s. I don't think we need it again. The biggest problem with the CFL is it starts too late in the season. It should be a May long weekend into a Thanksgiving weekend in this country. And if we can't get any teams on the East Coast, you know why? Because it's bloody 4 o'clock in the morning when the game in BC is finally over. You can't grow a group of people that want to watch it. You won't get any kids watching that game when they've been in bed for 5 hours before it starts. It's ridiculous. There's no reason we can't have doubleheader Saturday, doubleheader Sundays, at least until the NFL comes in. This 8 o'clock at night stuff, it just doesn't fly. Our league, our fans travel, right? Having an opening game on a Thursday night in Regina is absolutely insane. I don't know what butthead thought that up, but that just makes no sense at all. Right? None whatsoever.
Jeff, I kind of agree with you. As much as I love the rec laws and Thursday night football, having a home opener in Saskatchewan on a Thursday night during the school year helps nobody in a gate-driven league like the Canadian football
league. I'm not agreeing to the idea that the league needs to expand to 10 teams into the United States, but if it does, it evens out the schedule. There's less bye weeks. So to your point, it would be a condensed season. So, Jeff, that's part of Jamie's argument for this. Get a 10th team.
You don't have every team has three bye weeks. Every team has three bye weeks in the Canadian Football League,
which extends the season way longer than it needs to be. I also like Jeff's idea about condensing the schedule to the double headers on the Saturdays, right?
Well, if you had 10 teams, you'd have five games a week. And someone said, no, you wouldn't. Yes, you would. You'd have five games a week. And then your bye weeks could be like two teams have a bye week period. You'd only need one, and you could
every team gets one bye week.
You could have four teams have a bye week in week seven, the other four week eight, and the other two in week nine, and then nobody has another bye week. You have 3 weeks where you wouldn't have five games, and then every other week you'd have five games. Or you could do it over two. Six teams have a bye week. But you wouldn't do that because you'd only have two games that week. But you could really condense those bye weeks and have, for the most part of the season, five games a week.
Yeah.
That ramps up, hey, we have more games to sell for the television networks, which could mean more revenue for the Canadian Football League. The schedule maker wouldn't have to have a headache.
Why does St. Louis keep coming up? We had like 30 texts about St. Louis. Why?
St. Louis is the only market that has embraced the USFL or whatever the heck that league is called now because they're so ticked off that they moved the Rams. So they're like, yeah, let's get beyond this league to, shove it up the of the National Football League because we want a team in St. Louis.
And David, John did bring up the Okanagan earlier when we had John on, John Keane, to talk about Gavin McKenna. Yes. I don't know what the stadium situation is, but John was saying that there's a stadium big enough to house a CFL team in, you put it in a smaller place, you get it going, you see how it goes. I would rather
The combination of Kamloops and Kelowna, population-wise,
and Penticton and Vernon,
would be in that 300,000 people range. You need an owner, and you need a community who wants to spend $100 million on a stadium. Are you going to get it? I'm not sure. 1-877-332-8255.
I like the Okanagan. Way ahead of the U.S.
We'd all love it way more out of the U.S. But again, where are you playing? In a park? Not going to work.
Here's another one. Kelowna would be deadly.
Look at that. It would. I'm not saying it wouldn't. Where are you playing? Where? And do you have a community who wants to spend the money to build there? Do you?
Sometimes you gotta
right now.
Sometimes you gotta walk before you run. Smaller stadium. Welcome to Wrexham. You should watch it.
1-877-332-8255.
That's a good point, right, Scotty?
I thought you hated soccer. This is 980 CJME.
I do, but I like that show.
650 CKLM. Let's go right back to the fan line on a great debate. USA, A-OK?
No.
Knocker's opinion, no. Glenn, you lived it. You watched it. I'm not talking U.S. expansion to five teams. All I want is one to make it an even 10. Would you be okay with it or no?
I would, but last time they did expand, there was that problem. The American clubs were allowed to use All-Americans.
Don't even get me started.
And it worked. But it wasn't ideal, and I'm just trying to think. Like I agree with everyone else saying, where can you put it that there's a good population base, but it's close to Canadian soil, So they're not going down to Texas or anything like that. The other thing is regarding Halifax. Hey, back a few years ago when Vancouver was hosting the Olympics, they ripped the top off of their stadium and. We're playing outside. They built a portable stadium, held about 25,000, I think it was. It cost like $14 million. Why can't Halifax do something like that, or Dartmouth or Moncton or wherever they want to put it?
You could, sure, but you need a permanent solution. That worked in Vancouver for a year or two because they knew the renovations were going to be done at BC Place and they'd move back.
The other thing,
it can't be a permanent solution. You need a commitment before you'd even think of making that investment. That there are and I'd wait until the shovels are actually in the ground before you'd even go to
We're saying out loud, too, that, you know, politicians don't last forever.
Yep.
Right? They do. We're already sitting here banking on, you know, one leaving south of us. Maybe they'll turn them over in Halifax, and then you'll have a very different.
We've been waiting for that for a while. We thought we had a good one. He couldn't get the support from council.
Yeah.
Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. Gavin McKenna made it official earlier today. He's going to Penn State to play hockey. And he's getting some nice cash to do so. About 700,000 American is the report. Meanwhile, the Blue Jays going for 10 straight. While the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, likely without Tavon Campbell and Sam Emilis, after the injury report, looks like they are doubtful for Friday's game against Calgary. Coming up next, a young team's going to Canton, Ohio to play in the Flag Football World Championships. Mike Thomas, their head coach, next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Damian Locker with you in the Green Zone. Just skimming through the texts on our debate. Are you okay with the United States CFL franchise if it got it to 10?
I can't decide.
I'll be honest, Locker. I'm not sure which side won. It was pretty even.
I can't.
Which
I tried to figure out.
And I'll be honest, I'm surprised.
It's 50-50.
I thought people would be, you know, out there cutting up my tires.
You thought you were
even suggesting.
You thought you were going to be on an island, eh?
I thought so for sure.
No, I am surprised that you. Yeah.
So it's split.
You still should run to your car though today.
Yeah, from you. 1-877-332-8255. Well, we got a Canadian team going south. They're going to Canton, Ohio, the birthplace of football, as they call it, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's for the Flag Football World Championships, and Mike Thomas is going to tell us more about this 14 and under team made up of some kids from Regina and Moose Jaw. He's the head coach. He's also the director of Football Saskatchewan. He also runs the Regina NFL Flag Football League. You know, Mike, not busy at all. You're not busy at all, hey, Mike?
No, not at all. And as I'm speaking to you here with our U18 provincial team that's getting ready to go to Antigonish for the Football Canada Championships as well. So definitely football in the air. And as you mentioned, great time of the year here, and hopefully bring home a championship in the next little bit.
Mike, how do these teams in Saskatchewan stack up against teams in other parts of Canada and in the U.S.?
You know, it's interesting that you ask, because we've done extremely well considering that we are just such a small area relatively compared to a lot of other countries and provinces that are participating. And when you look at the amount of players that we've had that have gone on and have had the success, you know, at the various national events, it's truly amazing that, you know, a province like ours can produce the players and then have the results and exceed expectations that we put upon ourselves year in and year out.
So at these world championships, I'm familiar with this on the, my daughter's a competitive cheerleader. They do this in cheer too. When you go to an international event, do they take out, like, do the American teams play each other? And then there's an international side with, well, you have got Mexico, Great Britain, Puerto Rico, Brazil, Australia, Germany. Is that how these championships work?
Yeah, so that's what they have with the NFL flag international components, is that they do have those countries, just as you mentioned, that do play in their tournament format. But I do have a scenario, a situation that we were, our team had an opportunity to be down in Orlando last year, early 2024, and they put us in the American side. And so it was a lot different of game and flow, but it also gave you a sense of, how do you stack up against the Americans now? And you know what? It was a great event for us. We were third after day one out of 32 teams, which I think surprised a lot of the Americans. And, you know, it was great for them for to recognize and understand that, you know, the Canadians obviously have a stake in the game. You know, we can come up and play well. And unfortunately for us, we ended up falling out in the quarterfinals to the eventual winner. And that was kind of tough because we were winning that game for three quarters of the match. And then, you know, it was only within the last two and a half minutes that we lost that. So, you know, when we, you know, the previous question in regards to how do we stack up, we're right there step for step. You know, we can play, and obviously I think it has been shown here with our national teams that were just down in at the International Cup in L.A. a couple weeks ago with Paul Lapalisse, who's the head coach of the senior men's team, and Rachel Lessard, who's the head coach of the senior women's team. They went 7-1 in competition there, beating the Americans. The guys did. They were 4-0, you know, and the girls were, the women, sorry, were, you know, 3-1. So that shows you the level of play has been augmented across the country, and definitely have some studs and some really good players here in Saskatchewan.
We heard about that, Mike, from Pat McAfee. you know what? I want to bring up something just from a, from my own sort of personal experience. So we moved here last year. I've got a dog. I do a lot of walking around my neighborhood, and there's parks and grassy. And my wife and I, at one point a couple of months back, wondered if every child in this province was playing flag football. I was blown away by the number of kids that are participating in this and the number of fields that get taken over every weekend. Have you got an idea of, like, the numbers, Mike? I'm guessing you do, but
yeah.
What are the numbers like? And not that we need to, but let's compare it to tackle, like flag versus tackle under 18.
Yeah. So, you know, when we look at the numbers for Regina, you'd be kind of remiss to not think that when you look out on the park and see a bunch of kids playing flag, which is awesome, which is we truly love, and it's great to see. We had just over 3,500 kids playing flag here this spring, which is unbelievable to be able to have that. And then this fall, we're just finished registration and we're just shy of 1,700. So, you know, like almost half of the league is still playing. Now, in comparison, fall is usually a tackle football standpoint type of thing. And so, you know, here in Regina, obviously Regina Minor Football does a great job in terms of minor football here in the city. And their numbers are great as well. Like, they have growing, blossoming numbers, and we really work well off of each other. You know, for those individuals that want to play tackle that may have joined up in flag, we're like, hey, you know, go do tackle for sure. And then also we have the reverse where some kids may start in tackle, may not enjoy it or whatever, and want to still play. Flag is definitely an option for them. So I think the one benefit of it is that, you know, when you look at the game itself, the inclusion component in terms of, like, you know, play and those sorts of things, it just lets you have a little bit more action. You know, you're able to be a part of plays. You're able to contribute a little bit more. And it's compact and it's quick. So, you know, I think that's really been the benefit of the game. And when we look at it comparatively to, say, tackle, it's right now in the province, obviously, because I can speak on that, being with Football Saskatchewan, that it's basically 50-50 right now in terms of, flag and tackle players. So that really kind of, you know, gives you a good snapshot of what that looks like here from a provincial standpoint. And then the big component is that flag is the, you know, fastest growing sport that we're seeing, kind of in terms of the major sports out there. And one of the big groups are our females, which we've been very, very fortunate to have some great players come through. But even though that we've had that, it's been a great avenue for girls to be able to join in a sport where they might be playing with their peers, but then enjoy the game, which they come to feel comfortable in. And that's something I think that has been really great for us to grow and build on this as we've done in the last little bit.
Mike Thomas joining us from Football Saskatchewan, of course, running the Regina NFL flag football and the head coach of this team heading to the World Championships at Canton next week. Let's focus in on this group of 14 and under, 10 players, some from Moose Jaw, some from Regina. How familiar were they before this team was formed a couple of weeks ago to qualify for this?
Yeah, you know, it's actually some of these kids they've been together since grade 2. You know, and not playing flag per se, but, you know, it really started with a bunch of kids that we had that were playing club basketball together. And, you know, the kids pretty much all over in the north end of the city. And then, you know, we just kind of started playing a little bit throughout the years with different kids in different areas, so on and so forth. And actually how it really kind of all came together was that, you know, to those kids that are coming in from Moose Jaw, you know, we actually played against them in a couple tournaments, and we're like, man, these guys are good. You know, like, it'd be great if they could play with us. And so when we went to a tournament, we actually lost. And then we reached out to them and said, hey, I know you guys are tired of losing to us, so you want to come join us? And then the rest has been history. So, you know, we've had a great success with this crew, and they're just super pumped to be able to go down there and compete. And the awesome part about it as well is that we just talked about tackle. Six of those players just came off of the U16 championship with Team Saskatchewan at the Western Challenge in Winnipeg. So, you know, they go from playing tackle, they come into play flag. So multiversed athletes, different skill sets, but still a great passion for football, and looking forward to representing not just Regina, not just Moose Jaw, not just our communities, but not only our province, but our country, which is always so special.
Very cool.
To be able to put on the maple leaf and be proud to represent our country down south.
You know, it's interesting. Like, we've had more than a couple of flag football conversations in the last couple of months here on the Green Zone. And you brought up something that has been brought up before. Is there parallels between flag and basketball?
Yeah, well, you know, when you think about it in terms of just the, you know, when you think about the games themselves, you know, in order to have successful plays and flag, there's got to be, you know, obviously spacing involved, and no different in basketball, right? Like, if you're trying to run certain plays, you need to make sure you don't clog the paint, because then all of a sudden you don't give an opportunity for your, you know, your point guard to run the lane or be able to dish and pass and kick it out and those sorts of things. And it's same thing in flag. Like, it's all timing based. It's all these things. So, you know, same thing in basketball. If you're all of a sudden running a high-low offense, it's got to be the right time and when the posts are coming up to set the double screens coming off. And then obviously same thing in flag. Like, if you're trying to run, you know, some certain concepts, that it's all relative in that sense. So, you know, the great thing with some of these guys that play basketball is, you know, and the girls that play basketball as well, is that, you know, you got to be able to go up for a rebound jumping, right? You got to be able to be moving quickly with your feet on the court as a defensive player, right? That's lateral movement, quickness. You know, the quick movements in terms of, you know, if you're coming off a screen, coming off something quickly, if you're running a pattern, is running your route at the same depth. So there are a lot of parallels to that, which allows players to be able to utilize the lessons learned within flag to other sports, whether it be tackle, catching the ball, throwing the ball, pulling the flag, those sorts of things. It's all connected. So I think that's where that helps a lot of kids in other sports. And even those that are playing soccer and hockey, it really is something that they can take away with them to take back to their main sport, if not flag isn't that. But to certainly ensure that they are getting other athletic abilities or learning other lessons through playing flag as well.
Good luck to the crew heading to Canton. Next week starts on Thursday as they will get going in the Flag World Championships in Ohio.
Kick some butt down there. Come on.
10 young guys from Regina and Moose Jaw in the 14 and under category will be following along next week. Coming up next, do you know where the smartest place to get in a fight is? The golf course. Champs and Chumps on 980 CJME and 650 ZKOM.
You two are winners, big winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best, and you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Each and every day, one champ, one chump. The chump.
Well, we're kind of taking care of the champ and the chump, Jamie, with one clip. Yeah.
One story. Today, the video has gone viral of former NHL player Nick Tarnaski getting challenged to a fight by someone who I'm going to assume was incredibly intoxicated, and don't fight
a former NHLer.
Half his size, too.
If you're 5'7", and you're looking at a guy who is 6'3", 250, what are you doing?
Come on, man. Hey. Hey.
Off to a good start, buddy.
I f***ing told you.
Man, leave him alone.
You want another?
You
want
to?
Leave him alone,
man.
I got it all on record. Man.
It's a round of golf.
I got it all on record.
It's a round of golf.
Bang!
I wouldn't keep going back, you f***ing moron.
Bang!
Hey.
Bang!
Come on, man.
Bang!
I'm not
trying to
get in there. Enough!
There's a guy there that goes, I wouldn't be going back, buddy. That's their champ.
That's our champ. I wouldn't be going back, buddy. What is with fights on the golf course?
That's probably one
What's
of the more...
What's going on?
Jamie, that might be one of the more violent ones I've seen. That guy got...
He got hit five times.
Tuned.
Five times.
And not just...
Nick Tarnaski grabs him, as you do in a hockey fight, right in the middle of the shirt at the collar, grabs him, and you can hear him going, bang, bang. That is the NHLer making a sound effect every time he throws a punch. But here's how it starts. The guy charges at Nick Tarnaski. Tarnaski tosses him into the lettuce. He just goes, see you later. And the guy gets up and runs back at him. And he's like, what are you doing?
The guy just threw you like a rag doll. That should have been your first clue.
We just needed the lady from the Kelowna one to go, can we play through? Just to top it off.
Yeah, that was that guy's going to feel that for a month.
Ugh. Time so now for the Green Zone 1 minute drill, the latest in sports. Blue Jays on the diamond right now, going for their 10th straight win. They're taking on the Chicago White Sox. Gavin McKenna, the star WHL player from the Medicine Hat Tigers, no more. He has committed to play next year with Penn State in the NCAA. And the injury report for the Riders looks like it's probably going to be doubtful for Tavon Campbell and Sam Amelis to play on Friday. Dave Naylor's going to be in. Tommy Stevens of the Rough Riders is going to join us tomorrow right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.